Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the fellowship. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask forgiveness for our sins. We ask to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would move sovereignly upon our lives and bless us, Lord God, as we hear this word, Lord God. Let us take not this word for face value, but let us dig deep into it. In Jesus' precious name, we love you and we thank you. We give you glory, honor, praise, Lord God, and we worship you in Jesus' name. As I decrease, Lord God, increase in me to teach your people your word. All those that agreed said amen.
Amen.
We are in, I'm going to start with our base scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So the scripture clearly says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty weapons to the pulling down of strongholds. So this is not, the war is not on the outside of you. The war is on the inside of you. The fight is on the inside of you. How you perceive what's going on in life, how you deal with certain things. So we have to fight the enemy that's in me. So we have to constantly remember that the war is not on the outside. They may be scratching and fighting and clawing and crying, but that ain't your fight. Your fight is not against flesh and blood, but it is mighty. There's a spiritual thing that's pushing them, and they're trying to exalt their knowledge against the knowledge of God. They're trying to lift up that imagination of demonicism against the knowledge of God, therefore bringing you into captivity. See, so, but they can only take that by captivating your thoughts. So you have to bring every thought into captivity and bring it under the obedience of Christ. See, and that's where we lose the battle. Once the devil has your thought life, he can run you, he can control you. How do you think you see all these people standing out there in the streets and they have all these mental issues? The problem is the enemy has taken over their thought life. He controls their thoughts, their ideals, and their suggestions. What makes a man go out there and hurt himself over and over again with drugs, knowing that it's bad for him, but loving it at the same time? Thoughts, ideals, and suggestions. See, so we got to learn how to deal with these imaginations by captivating these thoughts, captivating ideals, and captivating imaginations. There's no way around it. And then once you have had all this disobedience in your life fulfilled, then you have to be ready to go out and revenge by teaching other people to do the same things you do. Thoughts, ideals, and suggestions. Go to Ephesians. Let's talk about the war, and let's talk about the fight that we're in. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. And I know that you've probably heard this before. I don't know if you've heard it the way I'm going to bring it, though. Let's get into this, because a lot of people don't even understand what this armor is. It says in 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, we just read where the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds. We also just read that it is the imaginations that comes against the things of God. It is not your flesh or your sin. Jesus already died on Calvary's cross for all the sin that you could ever commit. Sins past, sins present, sins future. So if he paid his precious blood for that, then why do you still have a fight with it? It's already been conquered. He said, don't even worry about when they say anything bad about you. Don't worry when they hate you. He said, because I've already overcome the world. See, so if he's already licked that fight. He's already beaten that one. Now we have to fight being used or indoctrinated with mentalities that will take us to the place where we're fighting against the knowledge of God and letting something exalt itself against God's knowledge in our lives. So, and it says here, finally, my brethren in 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So a lot of people are just strong in the Lord. They're not strong in the power of his might because they don't know anything about the warfare when it comes to thoughts, ideals, and suggestions. So he goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's deal with that. So if you put on the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God is simply for you to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, is the devil physical? Then why do you need a shield? Is the devil physical? Then why do you need a sword? Is the devil physical? No, he's not. He is a spiritual being that is fighting you from the place of the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is more real than this one. Everything that is decided in this earthly physical realm has already been decided in the physical realm. If you let those things, the things that you bind in heaven shall be bound on earth. The things that you loose in heaven shall be loosed on earth. It all has to do with you and your decisions. It has to do with you and your choices. It has nothing to do with your sin. If you choose to live in sin, then that is your choice. If you choose not to live in sin, then you have an advocate by the name of Jesus Christ who is on the side of redeeming you from that and delivering you from the fight of that. But you have to learn how to fight. He's not just going to take you to keep bringing you fish. He's going to take you and show you how to fish. That's what he told Peter. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Peter had to learn how to deal with the armor and fighting against the wiles of the devil. What is wiles? When you look that word up, it is called cunning devices. The devil has cunning devices. And the last time we talked about how cunning he was with Eve, and he said, did God not say that thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden? Well, let me ask you a question. Did the devil lie? Because a lot of people try to push the fact that the devil just lied and deceived Eve. No. You got it twisted. Deception is not all lie. Deception is a whole lot of truth with a little bit of lie. That's how you get deceived. Or a whole lot of lie with a little bit of truth. The truth is what draws you in. See, that's what deception is. A flat out lie is not deception. I'm straight telling you that this is what I'm going to do and that's it. I'm a liar and you know it. The Bible says that the devil was a liar from the beginning. So that means he's a deceiver from the beginning. He only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes for no other reason. And so we got to quit bringing him into the place where he does not belong in our mentality. You must see him for who he is. You must know that he has cunning devices. He came to Eve and he did not lie. He told her the absolute truth, but he put a spin on it to make her think differently. And because she was not used to guarding her thought life, she fell into temptation and then gave to her husband and took him down with her. And as a result of that, all of us is suffering from sin as a result of the decisions of somebody who did not know how to guard their thought life. Period. Now, if that makes you feel some kind of way, that's your business. See, female and male alike, if that makes you feel some kind of way, that is your business. But that is the scripture and that's the truth. The devil did not lie to her through word. As a matter of fact, the first lie was hers. God has said that we shall not eat of every tree of the garden, neither shall we touch it. God never said they can't touch it. Adam was a tiller of the land. He was a tiller of the ground. He had to throw away the bad food. He had to touch it. See? So don't get it twisted. The lie came from the deception that was placed there, as the devil told the exact truth and spent it. See? He told the exact truth and he put a spin on it. These are the wiles of the devil. If you don't understand that these are cunning devices, subtlety at its best, then you do not understand that you have a real enemy. You have a real fight. You have a real foe. So the wild, that was what we wrestled against. So just understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Isn't that what we just read? But we wrestle against principalities and all these things in the dark area. And it says that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against darkness, against darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And it is amazing that in the other chapter it said, for our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds. Well, it's giving us an idea of what our weapons are. So let's read it in. 13, it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and taking the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay, so let's deal with this. What do you see? You see having your loins girt, having on a breastplate, having on your feet prepared for the gospel of peace. You see colloquial common sense Roman soldier armor. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So why do you need a breastplate? An actual breastplate and call it righteousness? Why do you actually need your loins girt about? Because this is the picture of a Roman soldier going to war. And Paul was using that to bring the truth to people. But he was not trying to get us fixated or concentrated on the fact of the armor from the Roman soldier. He's telling us without telling us that the armor of God is, for those who would study, is truth. If you have truth around your waist, if you have righteousness, if you have the preparation of the peace of gospel, if you, above all, taking the shield of faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't even fight. And that is above all. If you would have on the helmet, the salvation as a helmet, and if you would have on the word of God, which is the sword, which is what you actually fight with. So, when you take out the Roman soldier picture, you see that truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and the word of God are the issues. See, and that's the part where we need to get to. We need the word of God. We need to operate in faith. We need the gospel of peace. We need righteousness. We need truth. And I forgot one. Salvation. Okay, there we go. So, if you concentrate more on receiving truth in your life, then you're building the armor. If you concentrate on bringing righteousness in your life, then you're bringing the armor. If you concentrate on the gospel of peace, which is what saves people, which is what saves people, changes people. It changes people to the uttermost. And you got to understand that. The gospel of peace, which is what Jesus died for. What about the shield of faith? And it says, above all, taking that. So, notice it says in 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. The very message of that implies that there may be a piece of the armor that you may leave out. See, that's why you got to take the whole thing. Well, if the whole thing is Bible knowledge, truth, righteousness, gospel of peace, shield of faith, salvation, and the word of God. And that is all the armor you would ever need. All six of these things complete a total picture of fighting the enemy. And you take on you all them things, then guess what? You've taken on the whole thing. But above all, you have to take on the shield of faith. Above all, you have to be faithful to the cause. Above all, you have to be faithful to God. And you have to understand that it is God that is working this. In the midst of all the trouble, in the midst of all the trial, there is God. How much do you believe God? How much do you believe that he's able to do what he said he can do? Well, if you believe him, then you believe that he is the truth. If you believe him, then you believe in his righteousness. If you believe him, then you believe in the gospel of peace. If you believe him, then that is your shield of faith. If you believe him, why wouldn't you take on to you salvation? And if you believe him, why wouldn't you read the word of God? The very thing that gives you the power to fight the enemy is in your hands. It's in your hands. And we play the game. We play the game trying to find some shield to put on and call it faith. Let me take you to another place. Let me take you to 1 Thessalonians and let me show you this. Because the same Paul is talking from a different direction. He's talking from a different direction. And he's going to use the same terminology, but he's going to call it something else. And I want you to see this, because this has let me know that this is not just the shield and the loins girt. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith." Wait a minute. In the other scripture, it was called the breastplate of righteousness. So is Paul making a mistake? No. He's just using terminology that's going to make sense to us that we are at war. But the fight is faith. Put on the breastplate of faith and love. He said faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. He's telling us how to fight. If you concentrate on the armor parts of the Roman soldier, then you would miss the very thing that is needed to go on. See, you miss the very thing that you need to fight with. You will miss it. Because you need faith. You need love. Love was not even in the other one. But we know love is the bond of perfect unity. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So what is he talking about? He is talking about Bible knowledge. You cannot fight the enemy without the word of God.
Amen.
It is impossible. It is impossible. And so we got to come to a place where we are fighting with knowledge, knowing, standing in faith, but knowing that our faith in God can do these things. Now, let's go back to Ephesians, because there's some parts that I left out purposely so that after I made this point, I could go back and continue to teach. So in 13, it says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God," not piece of armor, not some pieces. You need all of it. And we have already established that the armor is truth, righteousness, gospel of peace, shield of faith, and the salvation and the word of God. We've already discussed that. It is biblical knowledge. See, how do we know it's biblical knowledge? Because the devil only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. To steal you away from God, to kill you while you're in your sin by leaving God, and to destroy whatever chance you got at eternal life. That's it. That's what he comes to do. See, the Bible says that all is in the world. These are all the things that he has in 1 John. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Three things that he has, and three things he's trying to do. And so if you don't discuss that, then you will not even see the armor by which he fights. One of the reasons why a lot of people higher generals is so that they can sit down and they can get a strategy to fight the enemy. And we as Christians, we just sit back and we don't even have a strategy. We get caught up into our emotions, we get caught up into our feelings, and we don't even have a strategy of how to fight the enemy. None of us don't even know the wiles of the devil. We don't even know his cunning devices. So here's a man, young man, wake up in the morning, and every day he's getting trapped by falling into a ditch. He goes down the street the same way he knows to get to the work because it's what's convenient, and he falls into the ditch. He spends hours trying to get up out of that ditch. When he finally gets out, he continues on his way to work. The next day, he gets up and does the same thing. The next day, he gets up and does the same thing. He keeps, every day, he's falling into a ditch. And then he finally gets the understanding, well, today I'm just going to take another street where there is no ditches. It may take me longer. It may be out of the way. But I'm going to go around the corner and come down that street. And guess who became happier? The man. Because guess, he found another way. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
We have to find another way and looking at this, because this truly is the armor. This truly is the fight. But we don't, people say, oh, I put on my armor every day. When they say that and I know the scripture, I'm just looking at them, they just lying. They don't even, what are you putting on? So, Lord, put on righteousness on my breast. Put righteousness as my breastplate so that I can block the devil. Well, if you put righteousness as a breastplate, then what happens in Thessalonians when it says, put on faith and love? When do you know the switch?
Ooh.
It's not about the Roman soldier tactical gear.
It's an analogy.
It is just an analogy. Thank you, Brother Steve. It is just an analogy. So that you will understand that what you need to fight the enemy is truth. What you need to fight the enemy is God's righteousness. I didn't think I needed to say that on truth, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I kind of thought that was a given. But you need to be able to fight the gospel of fight with the gospel of peace, with faith, with salvation, and with the word of God. The entirety of this is the simple word of God. I showed you last time where Jesus fought the enemy with the word of God. So since he's the only one that did it, he's the only one that did it right, then why wouldn't we follow the example that he set before us? Every time he came in, he said, it is written.
Yep. Amen.
And he gave him the word of God. Then he came at it again. It is written again. The word of God. And the devil is very cunning. So he started trying to use the word of God to trap Jesus up with the word of God. Now realizing that he was face to face with the word of God himself. That's how the enemy is deceived. Let me say this to you before I leave. You know, at the end of all this, God is going to lock the devil up for 1,000 years. And I think I said this on another place, but I want you to really get the understanding of this. He's going to lock him up for 1,000-year millennia. And after 1,000 years, he's going to be let free. And what is he going to do? He's going to go and deceive the nations again. Now, that just seems like the most foolish thing in the world. You've been locked up for 1,000 years, and you didn't learn the lesson that deception don't work? And you're going to get out after 1,000 years to do the same thing? Who's more foolish, the fool himself or the fool that follows the fool? Fool. It don't even make no sense. You keep following the enemy and keep following his cunning devices, and you think you're going somewhere. You will not pick up the word of God for nothing. You will not learn what it is you're supposed to do. You don't want to operate by knowledge. You just want to operate by feelings, your emotions. Well, guess what? Feelings and emotion got us into that. The woman that was feeling the wrong thing got pregnant by the wrong guy. The man that wanted to feel something slept with the wrong woman and caught AIDS. The man that wanted to feel something started prostituting women. The man, because he was hurt, starts slapping on women. The man went out there and got on drugs. All this stuff is because of the feeling. So why in the world would we want to follow feelings? It don't make sense to me. What do hurt people do? They hurt people. So we keep trying to live our lives as though we're hurt. But let me get back to the study. In 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which is very important. You can't operate in truth without having faith that God is going to move according to his word. You cannot operate in righteousness without knowing God is going to move upon the righteousness. You cannot operate with the gospel of peace not realizing that when you're preaching the gospel of peace, people are going to receive it. You have to stand in faith. You cannot get somebody to salvation without faith. You cannot get into this word of God without faith, understanding that God is going to accomplish exactly what he said. He said, my word will not go out and come back onto me void. Do you believe it? He's telling you, do you believe it? Or are you too spiritual to understand it? See, because some people are so spiritual that they know earthly good. Yes. And so he says, you use the shield of faith. Why? Wherewith ye shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, so that you can operate in salvation. Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked so that you can operate in the word of God. Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked so that you can deal with the gospel of peace. Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked by faith so that you can deal in righteousness. Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked so that you can deal in truth. Anything outside of this is foolishness. Listen, we know your arm is too short to box with God. But let me tell you, you can't, without God, you can't fight with the devil.
Amen.
See, we got to get to the place where we start to operate in the tools, the system that God has set up. This is a God thing. This is not a world thing. So your flesh is irrelevant to the facts. It doesn't even matter. Mm-hmm. I could care less how you feel about it. I care less what you think about it. I care less what you say about it. You know, people say, Pastor, you just too harsh. You just come straight for the jugular. And I don't know no other way. I'm sorry. Because I am not going to be coddling people into hell. Your life, spiritual life, depends on me telling you the absolute truth, whether you like it or not. And me personally, I never did like the preachers that just patted me on the back and said, oh, brother, it's going to be all right. No. You lying to me. Tell me the truth. See, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's not who God has called me to be. And so having said all that, I said, I'm going to say to you that we need to ask God to forgive us for the foolishness that we've done with his word. And I'm saying we. Because you ain't by yourself. I've been there, done that. Amen. Got the t-shirt to prove it.
Yep.
So let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask forgiveness for our sins. We ask to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray unto you that you would touch us. For those that need salvation, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus, come into our heart, come into our life. Sup with us, Lord God. Be with us. Abide in us. Change us, Lord God. We want you to be manifest through our lives, Lord God, that you can walk up on the earth through us. In Jesus' precious name, we love you and we thank you. Father, I ask that you forgive me for all my sins and that you cleanse me from all unrighteousness, Lord God. You have my permission. I have opened the door. Please come in. Change my life for the rest of my life. Do a mighty work in me that all those that would see me would not see me, but see the work of the Lord through my life. In Jesus' precious name, live in me, abide in me, be manifest in me, be glorified through me, Lord God. Use me in the name of Jesus. We love you and we thank you. And all those that agree with that said, amen.
The evil ones dwell, cause they fail. What some like to refer to as hell. unveil the damn scale of the segregated, isolated, degenerated, and investigated committee. Destroy the whole city one by one. Make it kill off each other with a knife or a gun. You having fun, but in the end, you'll be judged by the Lord. Cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking up some truth into your souls. I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs. Look, he ain't a stranger. And get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the children. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the children.
Don't feel it, see. Come on, attempt to step into the light. Because deep in your heart, you know what's wrong and know what's right. Don't delay. Stop playing with your worldly ways. Cause once you sell out to the devil, ain't no need to pray. Cause when you die, that's where you lie. And ain't no resurrection. Burning in the lake of fire, left without no protection. Rejection is what the enemy really despises. He tells you what you wanna hear, but you know he good for lies. Rebuke and keep on stepping, that's your weapon and it work. It don't matter what they say, it don't matter what he learn. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend. Cause trust don't get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out. Stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow. So pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the children. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the children.
Now if he came right now, then tell me what you would do. Cause when it's time to get judged, see that's between him and you. Hit your knees and praise the one and only true Savior. That's all you're seeing behind closed doors. And yet he forget you. And if you don't commit your life living in sin, then in hell is where you dwell for eternity. And then you're burning fire and the pain will never cease. Plus ain't no getting out though, you begging again and please. There is hope. Seven seals and the trumpets blow for peace in heaven and hell on earth. That's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up and get some education. It's all there loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit to the angel of death. You better think about it before you come up on your last breath. Repent for all your sins, learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare, we live in the last days.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming.